Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men podcast. We are here once again to try and give you guys a little bit of sanity in a crazy, crazy world. We're going to do that via a variety of things. We're going to talk through some football topics. We're going to do some music stuff. We're going to do some general life stuff in general. I am joined this week by Ross Chandley. Hi, Ross.
Hi, mate. Okay.
Good. Thanks. Tom, how are you doing? Wonderful looking backdrop there, mate.
Yeah, no, it's a few little shirts in there. I've got the Mo Salah on this side. I'm glad I got it, the right side. It's weird because it's all mirrored image, but I've had two cups of tea and I'm so much better than I was like 2 hours ago. I'm so much better. It's ridiculous.
Amazing. And Errol joins us for the first time on the podcast. You've been propping up the news shows on your almighty shoulders for a couple of weeks, mate. But we've put you to the A-team for this.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you for the upgrade. I appreciate it.
Ross is fuming with that, by the way. He's been doing news shows every single day.
I love the comment about our high five as well, Ross. We totally cocked that up.
You just tried the high five.
You tried to have virtual high five, but Errol went the wrong way.
Yeah.
So they both high fived to the left, and I was like, "Did I know?" It was
April Fool's, and Tom just got a little bit mischievous and fucking set us up.
If anyone's watching can find that, can we have that? Can someone gif that for us and tweet that to the Red Men TV? That would be much, much appreciated. Right, okay. So we got a warm-up question this week that comes via Douglas Statman Doug on Twitter. Would you rather learn a new language or learn how to play a new musical instrument during lockdown? Ross?
Probably neither, to be honest with you. What's the point in learning any language when you can't see or speak to anyone?
That's not true.
And I'm finished. Fucking hate people anyway, so I want to fucking make new friends. And I don't have the patience to learn an instrument. I'm quite content with playing PlayStation, playing with myself, and going to bed. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but you've got to think about like the you may potentially unlocking a bunch of new women to knock you back.
Oh,
I'm so sorry, Greg. There was no need. So early in the podcast.
You've got to take them chances when you set them up yourself.
It's a numbers game, and you're playing a numbers game by broadening your horizons.
What's the point in betting yourself at all? Just wallowing in self-pity the whole time. That's what I've been doing. It's been not great, but it's been something.
How's that any different from pre-lockdown, Tom?
Oh, it's not at all. It's a weird question, though, to be
sure. Striving for normality, that's the important thing.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to keep the same mental that you had before. It's a weird one. I reckon a new language, just because musical instrument, what can you do with that? You can join a band, of course you can, but like learn a new language, you can go to a whole different country, you know what I mean? I'd rather be fluent in German than learn the guitar now.
You've been
to Germany, Tom? How did you get on there?
Sam, but like people talked behind my back, it was horrible.
I must admit that was one.
That.
Yeah, I know. I went to, me and Chris went to Liechtenstein many, many years ago to help a friend move home. Long story, there's some YouTube videos around it that exist somewhere in the world. But I find I like languages. Like I speak French. Okay. I mean, French and Spanish is okay. I've discovered that every word I don't know in one language, I know in the other, which is no use to me whatsoever. I could probably speak fluently a nation of Spanish and French, which is no good to anyone. But I hate that. I hate being in a room and not knowing what people are saying. Like, you know, I like to be able to contribute to the conversation. But if you can play, if I could play guitar, you could. You're all right, Tom, because you can. But it's a skill. It's a proper skill. And in this world, you can when the ability to entertain, you can earn money from being able to play guitar. Whereas being able to speak French, you can't.
Paul, you've never been in the. You've never been around the Liverpool band scene trying to do gigs everywhere and getting paid in Red Stripe.
Exactly, Tom. I haven't.
Yeah.
To be fair, I reckon Anthony Griezmann would do all right with the Spanish-French thing. I reckon you and him would have a decent conversation on that front, just because I'm pretty sure he's probably fluent in both by now. But in terms of the rest, musically, it'd be so good to just be able to learn a new instrument and just go from a day one basic bitch to just being Beyonce all of a sudden and just being able to just go sick on the piano or the keyboard or the saxophone. Imagine that. You just went into lockdown musically illiterate and come out like a jazz blues player.
If you want to make a woman weak at the knees, being able to play the sexy sax is definitely the answer.
The saxophone's won me over there because, like, band instruments, I can kind of leave at this point. I don't really care. I can play the bass to a degree. But saxophone, yeah. Yeah,
come on, exactly.
Over there, yeah.
And the Spanish as well. If you could, I'm telling you, that house party app before it all went a little bit crazy. If you could have just jumped into some Spanish girls DMs there, Ross. I'm telling you, your lockdown and quarantine could be completely different right now, Joe Levine.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna go.
I know, I miss my wife's learning to play the piano and she's fantastic and it makes me so jealous that she's got that ability. She just walks off and we bought this like electric piano and just, I mean, to be fair, I've heard the same three songs 700 times. I haven't been on the phone to BT either, so I haven't had to listen to Green Sleeves recently, but it's just that being able to just, yeah, I'm very envious of people who play musical instruments, whereas I can speak other languages and it has its use. But I agree, right here, right now, like you could live stream and play guitar, and that's a thing. No one's gonna watch you chat biff in French. You know, je m'appelle Paul. Bonjour. Great. I mean, I'll try it. I'll see if it works out. But nah.
No, I want to make TV in French now, French and Spanish.
I actually, a random story, when we covered Liverpool Real Madrid at the Bernabeu years ago, I actually mentally wrote a match reaction in Spanish that I was going to do. And then basically I was just so tired and it was late and we were miles away from home and we'd not won.
We've got to see something now. I want subtitles and everything.
I'll save that for another day. I'll do it. Yeah, maybe next season. Right, okay.
Don't give me another job to do, Edel. Imagine having to transcribe every single post-match video.
Yeah, from incorrect Spanish. What he meant to say was, dot, dot, dot. Right, okay, just to wrap up some things from last week's podcast, thanks for everyone who've left the five-star reviews on the various podcasting apps and whatever, it makes a massive difference. I want to see this week, first and foremost, actually, if people are watching this on YouTube, we only had 226 likes on the podcast last week. I want to see if we can get to 1,000 likes on this one. I think we can. So if you're watching this and you enjoy the Returned Red Men podcast, drop a like on this on YouTube straight away and let's see if we can get to 1K next week, and then we'll set some new targets. And we'll maybe do some rewards if we do that in future weeks. Anyway, we had some comments that came through. Obviously, we had the schoolyard game. It was me versus Ross. Rob Davies said that he thinks Paul must still have the virus after his team selections. Great. And people were asking me to live stream it because we talked about this. If you're new to the podcast, we've got Pro Evolution Soccer. We do the schoolyard game. We take alternating picks of the current Liverpool side to see who comes out on top. Tom's team came out victorious against Chris's last week. And this week, those of you who watched it, there was a handful of people who watched it, including Ross Chandley. Team Mitch came out on top.
Wijnaldum will tidy up. What can he do? Nothing, under exceptional pressure. Wonderful front foot pressing there from Adrian in the right back position. Basically playing like a pseudo Dani Alves role here today and doing it brilliantly. Here's Adrian again. Little shimmy. He's past him. Adam Lallana. It's back out to Adrian. What can arguably the greatest right back in the world too. He's inside his man, Minamino, Salah! Adrian's over on the right, he won't get it, but it is a foul. Now play on, Firmino holds it up against Gomez. Firmino to Minamino. That's not going to get confusing. Adam Lallana, Salah, back to Lallana. The pressure really ramping up here. It's a goal! It is a goal! And what a goal for teammates! This is incredible! This is exceptional! Team Ross in shambles. The decision of Paul to steal the good goalkeepers and leave him with 66 rated. Quevin Kelleher could come back to haunt him here. Oh my days, what a finish. What a finish. Let's see that one again. It all came from the brilliant right back play slightly before the replay starts from Adrian. Roberto Firmino, third shot. Is it savable? I have got, genuinely, Ross, I have no idea why it's 51 minutes. No idea why it's not been the half. It seems to be 51 minutes played. Yes, mates, la, says Miles HD. Rossi Chandley asking questions of the time played. That is 45 minutes plus 7 of stoppage time.
Can I just get your reaction?
Ball's frozen for me. Yeah, so Adrian right back demolished you, Ross.
Demolish me? Just lost 1-0. So today was fine. Paul gave me a virtual hug on the news. He come on here, slander me for not having a fucking missus, and now he's brought football. What is this? What is this?
Hey, listen, we've got a game running on the podcast. Everyone was so keen for us to prove it one way or another. Game.
The only way to properly judge it is to play each other. I don't know why you didn't do that.
If no, but that's not the proper way to judge. That, how is that possibly the proper way to judge it? Because there can be a mismatch.
Well,
there can be a mismatch in individual quality of people playing the game.
Yeah,
maybe, mate. But that wouldn't be a fair scientific way of conducting things, would it? We let the computer sim it out, and I came out on top. Tom, yeah, do you think it's a fair and scientific way to do it?
I think it's the only way to do it. To be honest, Ross, and if you would have won, you'd say that's why. Oh, exactly. Yeah, if I would have lost, that'd be exactly...
Did you score on the 51st minute in 1 minute added time?
No,
I don't know. Listen, mate, I don't make the game. I don't set
the... No, but it's the only fair way to do it, isn't it?
I'm just saying, listen, mate, things happen in football. That's the beauty of football, Ross. I scored an absolute banging goal, delivered some of the greatest commentary since Clive Tilsley said, hello, here we go in Istanbul.
The only appropriate commentary for that is Keller and goal. Well done, Paul. He's 17.
That's sad. Yeah, that live stream is there if you want to go watch it. We'll link to it. But it's on twitch.tv/MateGaming is there. We're going to do another one this week. I'm open to suggestions, actually, for people watching and listening. I think once we're done with this one, it's going to be me versus Tom for the ultimate winner on it this week. But then we want to mix things up. What kind of situations can we use? What kind of squads? What kind of players and whatever? Using Pro Evo in the coming weeks. I'll be honest, I think we've got the Liverpool 13-14 team. So there might be something in that. But yeah, we'll pick up on that in due course. Anyway, let's dive in then. Topics. Errol, what do you want to discuss? As a newcomer to the podcast, I'll let you go first.
Cool, nice one. So it wasn't really anything other than the I've been watching on Sky a few vitals at the minute, some footage of the best goals of the Premier League era. So I think Sky have broke it down into a couple parts, so there's probably about three or four parts. I watched part three yesterday, and I just wanted to get some of your thoughts really on what best goals you guys might have seen live, or best goals that you can remember in the Premier League era. It doesn't have to be a Liverpool goal either. Just open it up and just see. I've got a few favourites myself, but I just wanted to see what your guys is first.
Yeah, the one that always comes to my mind, it's funny, there'll definitely be generational things to this. Tony Yeboah banging one in off the crossbar was one of the big ones for me. And just to get it in before Ross mentions it, because he told us beforehand.
Every day he's not fucking bad enough, Paul. Go on. Another one.
No, go on, Ross. What's your favourite Thierry Henry goal? Is the one where he flicks it up over his head and volleys it into the top corner?
That was my one.
No, the spin from Henry and the Kale is an absolute stone cold. Is anyone capable of taking the red tinted glasses off enough to say the Wayne Rooney overhead kick?
Oh, that's an unreal goal. The comments on that one as well.
Took like, reflection though.
I think Berbatov's against us was better, but.
I think Bergkamp's when he spins the player, when that first touch, oh my god, that is probably the most skillful goal, I think, just in terms of the touch, and then he opens his body up and tucks it into the bottom right as well. That's an unreal goal. You said that one before, Edel, where the Suarez Newcastle as well, where he takes it on his shoulder, like, that is an insane amount of skill to be able to do that. Like, any player, not every player can batter one in, you know what I mean, hit it really hard into the goal. But, I mean, I think that's easier to do, score a screaming into the top bin, than what Bergkamp did to rip that Newcastle player, or what Suarez did to rip that Newcastle player.
That Letizia had a few bangers as well. I've just watched a few more clips of it, and he scored quite a few decent goals. He had some techers back in the day.
Matt Letizia was absolutely unreal. It's funny because, like,
young to be fair, but yeah,
there was like that 90s, the 90s era, obviously, him playing for Southampton and what have you. And he was like on the fringes of the England side, but he was just, you know, like that big fish, small pond kind of thing. He just loved, like, basically getting to stroll around the pitch, do keepy ups over people's heads, and then score mad volleys and stuff. There was a few of them goals. Like, Gazza scored one that was very similar to a very Letizia goal in Euro 96. I think was that against Scotland, that one, or was it the anyway? But yeah, you know, you had Matt Letizia, you had some of the real stars like the 90s, like Benito Carboni had scored absolute bangers. You got that Paolo Di Canio, like, scissors volley at the back stick absolutely unbelievable. And the other one, actually, Bergkamp against Leicester, where he did like it was very similar to his again World Cup 98 goal for the Dutch, where the ball comes over and he kind of pulls it out the sky, opens his body and curls it round. Just absolutely incredible.
What are we saying about the Aguero one? Aguero to win the Premier League. I mean,
it's not the greatest goal.
It's not the greatest goal, but for what it was,
I think they've done that as well, Sky. I think they've put greatest goals in one category and then they've put greatest Premier League moments in another, so obviously you can go over there and look at the two, but I'd definitely say that one sits in the greatest moments of Prem as opposed to one of the greatest goals. What would you want to lock in as your favourite Prem goal then, if you had to say?
Go on, I'll let Ross go first since we robbed it.
There's loads. I'm a big fan of all the volleys, like the Henry one we mentioned, Shearer against Everton. I think Rooney scored one against Newcastle as well, which from the edge of the box.
Rooney's against Arsenal, and that was a good one as well.
And, was there a Fulham goal? But I feel like it was on the right hand flank, and he just absolutely twatted it. But it dipped like right on the. He's like no chance of scoring from there, like volleys.
I'm sure Matthew Rodriguez scored one of them as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Bergkamp's. I think that's to this day. I don't think anyone can do that ever again.
He never meant it, like. I've been using that to wind Arsenal fans up for 20 years.
that wound me up all the time.
It was incredible. I'm not saying he didn't mean to like tear it, but the way it worked out for him is a nice combination of skill and luck. But then I suppose that's the best things in footy. You've got that going for them. I don't know. I really struggle to think of what is my favourite goal, because I'm always clouded by like the Liverpool stuff. Robbie Fowler versus...
Spoiled.
Yeah, true. I think Robbie Fowler versus Aston Villa is one of my all-time favourite goals. And the ball comes to his feet. He's got his back to goal on the halfway line and he creeps it. And he megs Steve Staunton, who's playing for Villa. I think he'd been playing left-back at the time. And then he just bursts through, runs, and then just smacks it. And it just like arrows into the far corner. Yeah, that's probably... That or the one where he... the Cantona's comeback game where he smacked it in the near post and it takes the camera out and Peter Schmeichel like a statue freezes and falls back. Yeah, unbelievable.
Go on, Tom, sorry.
Well, I was going to say I forgot all about it until then. Arsenal's team goal versus Norwich with Jack Wilshere touching in.
Oh, yeah.
That in terms of just all
the round. The Aaron Ramsey one's even better where he gets it on a heel turn and flicks it in at the end.
Yeah,
starts in like midfield with a header, heads it in, and it goes back and forth, tick-a-tacker. And then I think even the commentary says that's a goal the Harlem Globetrotters would have been proud of or something. It's a belter. Like, it is a belter.
That was the moment where Arsene Wenger should have retired.
Yeah.
Like, that was the goal that Arsenal had been built to score. And they finally scored, and it's like, he's just one of them where you just like, he just unzip his giant coat and
just land out his pockets.
Yeah, exactly. Let it fall to the floor and just walk out of the stadium and never return again. Yeah.
Let us know yours in the comments anyway. Favorite Prem goals, guys. Let us know what they are.
Yeah. Right. Right. Okay, then let's move things on. Ross, what are you bringing to the table?
I want to discuss the BT Sport coverage on Sunday night. I don't know if anyone saw it, but they basically showed Liverpool versus Dortmund. Liverpool versus Barcelona, Liverpool v AC Milan, and then the Spurs final in Madrid, just back to back. Like, they went all four, there were highlights. And it was like, for Sunday, I had like a proper lazy morning, went for a walk for like 3.5-4 hours, come back, made a roast, and put that on by Errol. And,
my God, Errol's got a landline.
I know.
Fucking hell.
And, well, at first of all, it was just boss coverage. It was perfect Sunday night viewing. But also, like, watching the Milan game back was just like, looking at the Milan side, I was just thinking they were superstars, like start to finish, and even the subs were amazing. Our side of, you know, Harry Kewell, who obviously got injured halfway through, well, 20 minutes into the game. Jimmy Traore, you know, interview on the RedmanTV.com. The fact that Dudek was miles off his line for every single penalty that was in that final. Like, we should fucking never, ever have won that game.
Yeah. He was. I remember that because my dad always used to say that to me as a goalkeeper, is just edge forward, because it's impossible. It's basically impossible to save. It's ridiculous. It's almost impossible to save a penalty. Just if you stay on your line, you've got to gain as much distance or close as much distance as possible. And Dudek takes the absolute piss. And it's something. It's something that never gets thought about.
The Perlo one and the Shevchenko one were completely shit penalties. It's like they couldn't be arsed.
Psychologically,
we're gone, Andy. Yeah, it was that dude, that save is still ridiculous, and it's the little look and the little nod, like, yeah, I meant that. Like, you're never at all, mate. I love the fact that we were really good in that game as well. Like, if you watch that game back in full, like, we're coming up against AC Milan, who are unreal, but we created some really good opportunities. I think Reece had a shot from outside the box, didn't he? Hippier had a massive header, and AC Milan were just fantastic. And then I think it was when Schmitz's goal goes in, it's because he's tying his shoelace and Ancelotti's fuming because they should have had the throw-in and all that. It's just all these little things that made it such a magical night.
Go for it.
Well, I was just going to take it back to the whole thing. It was nice seeing dead Twitter accounts that only tweet about the footy coming out the woodwork again and starting to tweet again about stuff. And it was just nice to see Liverpool on a match day on Twitter, but knowing that we'd won, so there isn't a fume. You know what I mean? It was really nice to see.
Twitter would have been absolutely fucking unbearable that night. Absolutely unbearable. So many accounts deleted at half time. It's untrue. It's good that you bring that up, actually. Some of you will know, some of you won't. I had a Skype call with the man, the legend, Mr. Jimmy Traore, this week, and he talked about, obviously, his rise up through the ranks coming through to Liverpool and what have you, and his relationships with Gerard Houllier, his relationship with Rafa Benitez, and that season, there's a phenomenal story in there. Well, it's actually a couple, but he tells the story of his half time. We mentioned the Dudek save. He talks about his reaction to that and how he basically loves Dudek forever because he was meant to be marking Shevchenko, which is amazing. And there's a story about him that if you want to go check out, on it's out as a clip on the Redman TV Twitter account, about him potentially, he ended up missing out on a move to Everton, and Rafa Benitez deciding to wind him up about it when we'd won the European Cup. That's on the Redman TV .com now. Go and check it out. It's like an hour. He was boss. He's still in Seattle at the moment. He's coaching the Seattle Sounders over there, assistant coach at the moment. Brilliant fella. The full thing is amazing. It's on the RedmanTV.com in video and in podcast form. So if you want that, you can get that. It's just £5 a month, as well as all the other extra stuff. I love that. Ross, it's a great shout, because at the moment everyone's trying to find things to do and bring people back. And I wonder where the BT have just gone. Like, I know, like, goal. I've been very Liverpool centric as well, and how their Twitter accounts used to run. I wonder whether they just give up the ghost. Just like, oh, just fuck it. We've got all these Liverpool games. Let's just chuck them out there, because let's be honest, we could do Spurs, but no one would give a shit.
They did. I think they did the Man United a couple of days before, but on that thread when they posted to say they're going to do a Liverpool games, loads of comments. What's this, LiverpoolTV.com? Like, yes, it is. Yeah. It's worth fucking watching.
The thing is, think of all the amazing games Liverpool have been a part of. And that's the best thing about Liverpool is the history and all that about. Not many clubs have that space. Don't have that. It's Liverpool.
It's on the biggest stage as well. Look, yeah. All those games that were, you know, that he was highlighting, it's on the biggest stage. And, you know, we've got the biggest catalogue when it comes to games on the biggest stage in Europe because, you know.
Because of the band. So,
no, it's right, isn't it?
It's so, you know, I just think it is nice to have it as a whole montage and you can just sit there and watch, as you said, Tom, with knowing that we've already won it and it's already sealed on. So
there's loads of games that they missed as well. You didn't have the Arsenal game in there. Was it 4-2? You know, beating Inter Milan, beating Real Madrid. Olympiacos games, fucking loads they could have put in there.
Yeah,
it gets forgotten about because we all talk about, and you've done it there six times, five times for the longest time. But nine finals, nine European Cup finals, and then you've got the UEFA Cup finals. If you wanted to chuck them on top as well, that, you know, we've been involved in so many of those games, and we're, you know, we're the headline number when it comes to this country. You know, comfortably as well. But like I say, to be on, being in those games, that's what makes you big. And I think a lot of people in this country don't necessarily get that at times, that you gain value. I know loads of people who started supporting Liverpool because they watched us in 2007, the Athens final, lose to AC Milan, but still walked away going, I think they're the club for me. So yeah, long may it continue. And long
that Milan side as well. Yeah. It's like one of the best sides that ever was. It doesn't get spoken about enough of how good they were.
Yeah, it's the seeing the lineup. I mean, out of them four games, there's Dortmund, there's Barca, there's Milan, there's Spurs. Is the best game for you guys the AC Milan one? Because I think Barca might have overtaken that, but then Spurs for me, as much as Barca was unreal, Spurs I watched in the middle of Liverpool City Centre, and it was the whole aura around it. I think that might be my favourite. It was terrible. That game was terrible, like as a spectacle. But in terms of a feeling, in terms of a relief, in terms of knowing exactly what that meant, that might be better for me than AC Milan, just because of how it made me feel and getting to experience it with all my mates in the pub. I don't know.
I think, so just speaking from maybe our generational perspective, Tom, that's we our AC Milan experience is limited to the fact that I was probably, I don't know, 2000. I was like 11, do you know what I mean? I think you would have been a couple of years younger than me.
Yeah.
So we never got to fully experience the heights of that, you know, euphoria of winning in 2005. Obviously, it was great, but I was still sat in my mum's in the back room watching it and then went to bed straight afterwards. Whereas when we won against Tottenham last year, it was parties, it was the ale, it was the celebration till early hours in the morning, and it was, you know, celebrating with people that you probably never met before that day. The other icing on the cake for me about the Tottenham game in terms of a bit of difference was I was desperate to beat an English club. I've always said, whenever we get to the, you know, in the Champions League, I always think we're the last English club out of the competition. I always back us in that respect. So yeah. The fact that we was in a final and it was us versus another English club, I just wanted those bragging rights. Yeah. It could have been Man U, it could have been Chelsea. I just wanted, it wouldn't have mattered what the competition was at that point. If we lose a final to another English club, we wouldn't have heard the end of it. So yeah. That's what gave us that little bit extra edge. But for me, I don't think I could ever take back that moment of Barca. That Barcelona game for me, in terms of just one game in 90 minutes, I seen their tweet on Instagram this morning where it said, what was it? We need to score just one goal and Liverpool will have to score five. And we can all accept we're going to score one, right? And I was thinking, yo, how did that age? How did that tweet age for you?
Yeah. See, Busquets hasn't tweeted since the game either. he was tweeting every day and he still hasn't tweeted since after that game.
That's definitely a website that has Busquets tweeted. I it's interesting for me because there's always a degree of recency bias in these things, and that Istanbul thing was a generational moment for me. So I'd have been 22. When we won that, so I was in my prime. You know, we were all, me and all my mates were all out in town. Me and Chris had been drinking since probably about 11 o'clock or something that day. That's why he remembers very little of the whole experience. But like, that was one of those things where, like, we were in the walkabout in town. I had people when we equalized, I've said this loads of times, but like, I went around consoling people at half time, and then when we scored the equalizer, I got lifted up onto people's shoulders and paraded around the bar. It was just unreal. I had all my best mates all around me. That was phenomenal. Weirdly, but in terms of a football experience, it's to the two different things for me, because it was effectively just watching a match in the pub. Like, that Barcelona game is the best thing I've ever experienced in my entire life, just to be there. And when, you know, the sheer disbelief that man, that's why when I watch the highlights back and I see the Gini Wijnaldum header, like, I'm transported back to the stands, and transported back, and the hairs on the back of my neck stand up because I remember being there. So Barcelona's probably actually even above the, and I, you know, I was in Madrid, but I was probably so stressed out by the whole thing that I didn't actually enjoy it because I was working as well, you know what I mean? So it was like I had that in my mind the whole time, and I don't think I could process what it was that I was seeing, whereas Barcelona, it was just, yeah, that was, so that weirdly, and actually Dortmund as well is probably up there for a very similar sort of thing. It's just the Dortmund one doesn't rank because we didn't win it that year.
Yeah, exactly.
If we had, that would be gone down. That would go down as one of the, you know, probably like the second or third greatest Liverpool game of all time, probably. But yeah, it's a weird one.
If we won it, it would have been one for me. If we would have won it, that would have been number one for me personally.
I missed that as well. I watched it on BBC text.
Just no, it was just because they had goals in that game as well and kept pulling it away from us, and then we had to nip it back, and then you just kept pulling it away. You just thought, at some point when there's only 5 minutes to go and you need two goals, you think it's just not going to happen for us. I can accept that.
You've got Klopp, haven't you, at the end, and he's just stood there and he's just laughing because they got a free kick with at the last kick of the game, and he's laughing because he's just, and he said after the fact, and he's like, if they score here, they score here. There's nothing I can do about it. Yeah. And that's just football. And so he's just like, everyone's like that on edge, gripping onto all the people around him, and Jürgen's just laughing his head off because it's in the hands of fate at that point. Yeah, just absolutely unreal. What we've got, what you are, Milan,
just giving the goal from the two sides. As I said before,
how old were you? 2005,
15.
Yeah,
so I watched at home with mum and dad. But like, just watching that AC Milan side, I was a fan of theirs. Like any footy manager or chat manager game, I was always AC Milan because mid-noughties, I think forwards, of like Shevchenko and Stam and all them.
Just world beaters.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think I was about 13, 14 as well. Maths is just awful.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And I like the fact that you put yourself in a different generation to Ross. Oh, Ross. Right, okay, cool. Let us know yours then. How would you rank those four games? Let us know in the comments, or you can tweet at the Redmen TV as well if you want to do just that. Okay, the new story I want to talk about from the Mirror, it came out yesterday, I think, or over the weekend. Certainly, it came out on Monday from Mark Jones on the Mirror, and he said that the Football League, the AFL, are planning to return to action on June 6th in order to complete the 1920 season and ensure the financial future of many lower league clubs. And then it goes on to talk about like the funds that are put in place, and they're saying the clubs will only push return in early June if the government deem it safe to do so. And it's weird. I find this. I go back and forth on this on an almost weekly basis of where I stand on it, because obviously we're not medical experts. It's not on us to decide whether football is fit to be played or not. But also because my entire livelihood is built around the football, I am horrendously biased and I can't give an objective point of view on this. But like, Ross, the second I saw this, I'm just this is what I'm waiting for. I'm just waiting for someone to come and tell me, roughly at least, this is when the footy's back. And from an entertainment perspective, I've got that, but also from a business perspective, I'm waiting for that moment just to probably take a bit of the weight off, you know, off my shoulders or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting it back. You know, when we spoke about it the past 3-4 weeks, it's always been the caveat, as long as it's safe and well. I don't think anyone who spoke about it has taken that away. But I saw the headline yesterday on Twitter, and we read it, was like, ooh, okay, sound. Like, you know, there's a bit of hope there. It's, you know, it's not just for, again, you know, we're in the same, we work for you. So it's the same for us. It kind of, you know, we want that back for it to get back into routine at work, or to get back to work sort of thing, or, you know, the entertainment value, but also mentally as well. You know, it's difficult. You know, we've all had to adapt from working from home. We've all had to adapt to what kind of content that we do. You know, it's nice to kind of go have even a target they set in mind of mentally. You can go in your head, okay, sound, that's the day that I want to be going back to work properly, and we can get to back all the stuff that we used to go and do, and, you know, ramp up the content again and having topics about football. And, you know, it's getting a bit old now talking about when's football coming back and when's it's doing, but we seem to be getting closer to that date. And if it's safe for everyone, then, you know, I'm bang up for it.
We're seeing, aren't we, Tom, this week Spain have started to kind of loosen the lockdown a little bit. They're letting certain non-essential people back to work and what have you. And they're the things that I think everyone's kind of looking for. We go through this. We saw you briefly this morning. We've all had a little bit of a chat around it. And every conversation is just like, how are you doing? And, you know, unless you're having the absolute perfect day, it's the answer's more often than not, it's either this is weird, this is mad, this is a bit shit, isn't it? And I think everyone's kind of getting through it. But if we can just be given something, and it might not be football, it might be the pitchers coming back again, you know, whatever. Everyone's looking for this little bit of news to say you can start to build
light
your life around something.
Light at the end of the tunnel, mate, innit?
Yeah,
that's exactly it. It's just getting back to a sense of normalcy. I mean, we joked about it at the start of the show, but it is, you need a little bit of, okay, I know that I can do this. And I know it's a case of, it's stupid. I mean, you talk about like society and how fucking stupid it is. We work 5 days and then have 2 days of going out on the weekend, but everyone knows that's what they've got. So everyone knows, right, I can kind of go a bit wild on the Friday, Saturday, and then recover on the Sunday to go back on the Monday. You had that, all right, Ross, maybe not, but you had that in terms
of on Monday.
You structured in terms of going, okay, I know I can go out and see all my mates then, and I've just got to get through another 2 days of this, but you don't know how long this is going to go on for, and I think that's what the most testing part of it is. I mean, I think Macron says that they're going to start easing it after May in terms of school and stuff like that. So I think the article said June, didn't it, around then. I think that makes so much sense, because given another month of everyone being in complete lockdown and then start easing it back through, all the players can start going back in and start getting the pre-seasons done towards the end of May, and then coming into June, hopefully we can get back to a semblance of normalcy.
Go on, El.
My question in all of that, I like everything that Tom just said there, is even if it's a proposed plan to go back in June, is this going to be behind closed doors? I was wondering if your article elaborated on that in any way, because I'm hearing across Europe, there is a chance that there might not be any fans in grounds until 2021. And that's just, that brings a whole, opens another whole can of worms, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Actually, there's a couple of things we'll get to that. But I just wanted to talk that Roy Hodgson's quoted in this article, and it's probably the best thing I've ever heard Roy Hodgson say, given my perspective on it. He's saying everyone's in total agreement we need to end this season. He told the Palace website, we don't want artificial means of deciding who wins the league, who gets into the Champions League, who gets relegated and promoted. Ideally our players have 3 or 4 weeks minimum to prepare for the first match back, but I accept there may be a squeeze on that time frame. It might mean extra restrictions at our place of work. It may also mean that we have to play our remaining matches in a shorter period of time than we would normally have done, and subsequently receive a shorter break in between seasons. And I just love the fact that, like, Roy Hodgson, who I'm so used to being on the opposite side of things to Roy Hodgson, seems to be firmly in the same camp as us. But yeah, I think you're right. I suspect it'll be a behind closed doors thing. There's talk that the FA have offered St George's Park, they've offered Wembley Stadium. There's a couple of solutions where they could be used as bases or whatever for it. At this point, I kind of don't care. I just want footy back, with the notion that it's not going to be like that forever. And as long as they get it up and running again, so we've all got that thing. Because Tom's right, for me, that's one of the big things as well, taking me production hat off, is us having things to set our week by, knowing that the footy is going to be at you, or your team is going to be playing at this time. You bring your global community of that fan base back together again. All of a sudden, like you, Tom, you were saying as well about the Istanbul game, people are going to be active, they're going to be online, they're going to be here at this space, and it opens up fresh conversations, and having that feeling that you're part of something.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's something that I think we're all kind of missing at the moment.
Yeah.
For real.
Absolutely. Okay. Brilliant. Let us know your thoughts on anything we've discussed. Again, in the comments, if you're watching on YouTube, or as always, you can tweet us at the Redmen TV. If you want more in-depth chat, you can email us, interact@theredmentv.com.
That's my topic there, Paul.
I know. Sorry, Tom.
Do you want it, or do you, we can move on? It's not really interesting.
Is it good?
I thought it was good. I'm
really sorry. Go on. Go on, Tom. Totally forgot.
No, I saw you skipped it. I was like, basically, on the 10th of April was 2 years since we beat Man City in the Champions League, and the video of me and Si going mental basically went round again, and I miss celebrating like that. I mean, you should see me watch football games. You know exactly how I celebrate and how I watch football games. I miss that exact feeling. And it kind of ties into everything we've spoken about. But what is the most you've ever celebrated a goal? And I guess you can kind of just say the spares in the final. Let's discount that, because that's the go-to. Everyone celebrated that, like, the best thing you've ever celebrated. But there must be ones that are kind of out there.
I have got about, we don't lose many games of football anymore, do we? But, you know, a lot of the times I do the vlogs for them. There's been a handful down the years that, like, so like Mo Salah's goal against Tottenham Hotspur 2 seasons ago, when it was like Messi, when he dribbled past half the team and slotted it. I went absolutely insane to that goal. Bobby Firmino's one against Atletico Madrid, because the fact that he hadn't scored at Anfield, and it was just so written. There's been a handful of them where I've gone completely crazy, and I'm just gutted, because I would never put out something that ends in, like, Liverpool fans having their legs cut off them because we don't win. They never get to see the light of day. But there's a few of them where I've probably gone as crazy as any actual goal we scored. I reckon probably Dejan Lovren, Borussia Dortmund, that header. That's probably as big. It's probably as big and loud as I get.
I wouldn't know about how extreme I got. I just remember the circumstances in which I did have to celebrate this goal. So it was the 3-3 against Everton at Goodison. I think it was the 13-14 season, and it was 2-1. To the good for us, and I think Joe Allen had the chance to put us 3-1 up and, you know, put the game to bed, and I just thought it was a given. And I actually got my old manager at the time, she was a season ticket holder for Everton, so I sat with her in the Everton section as an undercover red, and for the longest time I'm sat there thinking, okay, like, because we're up, I don't have to expose myself, I can just be happy the fact that we're winning. As soon as it went to 2-1 and then to 2-2 and then to 3-2 to them, they're jumping up. And at that point, I think a few of them around me knew, he doesn't seem like one of us, this kid, because he's not as gassed up as everybody else around him. And it was true. And it was only when Sturridge went and scored at the very depth of the game did I let out. I think that was when he just knew. He was like, yeah, it confirmed my suspicions. But other than that, no, all the ones you've said as well, they're the ones that do get you up out of your seat and send you nuts. But that one for me was just a little moment where I just thought, yeah, I can't not celebrate at this point.
Go on, Ross.
Yeah, but as soon as you asked the question, it was the Salah against Spurs one for me. I went with Ben. I just ended up throwing him around like a rag doll, and some fella that was in front of me nearly pushed him down the row of seats in front of me, and had to save him, get hold of him. Just couldn't believe it, and then it was all for nothing. But that moment of 30 seconds, 40 seconds, was unbelievable.
How were you, Ross? Because talking about Errol's experience there, it reminded me, of course, of the Man City game that Tom's talking about. You were in the City with the City fans with that. Because, of course, they didn't sell their allocation out, and of course, you got them through uni. Yes. And I remember you caught up with me and Chris afterwards, and like gave us a like jumped on us and gave us a massive hug because you'd had to stay repressed for the entire that game.
Spent by then as well, weren't you? Yeah. Well, obviously they got 1-0 up then early on, and then they get another goal, but I think it's disallowed. But I was on a back row, so I was like right in the guts, so I just like kept myself pretty quiet. I'd never do this again, by the way, because it just takes the experience out. And then obviously you've got to keep quiet, like you did, Errol, before on. But there's a fella sat next to you. I mean, obviously the first two goals go in. And then he gets to Liverpool score, and he's like, "You're a Liverpool fan?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Me too." I was like, "Oh my God, does he sat next to me?" It was Indy Kayla who sat next to me. So when Liverpool scored, and when Salah scores that goal, obviously you can't let out. You see the away end go absolutely wild. And he just bangs me on the leg, and I'm like going, "Yeah, I really got to get out of here." But it wasn't until I saw Paul and Chris just went, "Rash!" like that. But they'd obviously emotionally drained by that time.
Fucking ruined. That actually might be one of them, because I felt a half time in that game, I felt ill. I felt so sick because it was just 45 minutes of them just battering us back.
Yeah, peppered our goals, just peppered us.
Overloading, trying to overload Trent. They had they put David Silva and Sane over on him and all that kind of stuff, and just trying to get past us. And then we had that one little chance right at the death of the half that made you think, ooh, we might have something. But like that moment, because we did the Salah goals recreated, didn't we? Like about a year or so ago, and like it's Salah, isn't it? Who scores the dinks it? Is it Salah? Yeah. Is it Mane? Dinks it over, and when he runs towards the Liverpool fans, and like the blue flare goes off and all that kind of stuff. Like that's probably fucking nuts.
The celebrations after that game were pretty good as well. Like afterwards, I think I'd walk round, but I bumped into Chris Hall from ITV, but he recognised me, so he stopped. Like for an interview, but then I just started singing "La La La," and then all Liverpool fans were coming out, so we all did it and just had to mob the TV cameras. It was quality.
Yeah, absolutely unbelievable. That's what it's all those things I think about those European nights, and we never, because of the way the Atletico game went, we were robbed of one more before we went into lockdown. I was joking with the people we were filming with outside the ground. It's like if they hadn't scored, there'd be people on top of the shipping containers, like the way for all those other big European nights, like going back to Dortmund where it was just bananas, people bouncing around the streets and hugging each other and singing and jumping up and down. It was just absolute chaos. And then it was you pull that out, and there's just six people stood around in a very empty concrete kind of square with no atmosphere whatsoever. That's probably the thing, that not necessarily like the obviously the goal celebrations, yes, but that those moments where you walk out and you've got that shared sea of bodies kind of moments. I'd very much.
I think there was an expectancy in that Atletico game because of all those previous moments. I said this before the game kicked off. Only 1-0 behind, and we did better against Barcelona, who arguably a better side going into that game. Well, we'll do this. We'll have another one of those nights. And it didn't work out, did it?
Yeah, shame, really. Okie dokie. Are you satisfied that we've covered your topic well there, Tom?
I think so, yeah. It was a good topic.
I apologise. It was a really good topic. You probably thought, hang on a second, why is he doing this topic now when it's my turn? Yeah, I apologise for that. Just because I couldn't get the agenda up on screen, I had something else up. It wasn't porn, it was fine. Anyway... we're doing the Sanity playlist. If you've got Spotify, we've been creating Redmen playlists each and every week. This is week three of this. They've been absolute belters. Let us know how you're getting on with it. If you want to find it, you go on Spotify and just type in Redmen Sanity playlist. Chris isn't here this week, as you can tell. I'll give Chris's three songs. He's gone. I'm a big fan of all these. He's gone for Kryptonite by Three Doors Down, which is it's a bittersweet kind of anthem. It's got some power to it, I like that. 99 Red Balloons by Goldfinger, which is the best version of 99 Red Balloons, in my opinion. And Glycerin by Bush, because presumably, you know, he likes second rate grunge, Aussie grunge. I don't know. Maybe that's it. No, it's a good song. This is a really good song too. Tom, what have you gone for?
I've gone for there's a song called Playtime by Lindasis. It's kind of like electronic, kind of like breakbeat stuff. It's really good. And then I went for Raz by Kings of Leon, which is just top tier stuff. And then the one that I kind of want to talk about is Ooh La La by Faces. So I sat there on Saturday. Had one of the best days I've had in absolute months. Did absolutely nothing apart from sitting in my back garden with a beer, listening to loads of classic tunes, and this is one of the ones that started off. You know, when you get into Spotify and you just start adding to a playlist, like, oh yeah, that song, added all these to a playlist and just sat in the sun all day and got a bit of a tan.
That is almost identical to what I did. And with that song, that would have been, I'd totally forgotten about this until you just said it. But I made like an ultimate summer playlist at the weekend, and Ooh La La by The Faces was right at the top of it, because that and Maggie May both remind me particularly of a period of like when I used to live in Sheffield, and we'd all just get together and have house parties and put like get the decks out and just everyone would have a turn doing stuff. Yeah. That's an absolute stone cold classic of a song. Tom Dutton, brilliant. Ross?
I've gone for 3 certified bangers this week, but covered 3 different moods. I've gone Born Slippy, Born the World, okay. In case you want to pop a pill and get off your head in your own garden.
Opinions and views do not necessarily represent those of Red Men TV. We would never encourage someone to take Class A drugs on a YouTube show.
You meant aspirin, Paul. You got heavy.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Paracetamol. Who Am I? What's My Motherfucking Name by Snoop Dogg? No, why not?
Yeah.
That's what I was waiting on. And Ace of Spades by Motörhead. A, because it's a banger, but B, when it came on Spotify for some reason, but it always reminds me, I think it's Tony Hawk's 2. Mm-hmm. I want to say it's Tony Hawk's 2. I'm just playing that for hours and hours.
But I think you dropped a little fly cheat code.
Yeah.
That was the best way to get yourself through that game. If you literally just like, it must have been like a cheat on PS2 back in the day, and if you just pressed it enough times, you could have the ability to fly, and literally you could button bash your way through each level of the game and secure some mad points. Tony Hawk's 2.
Didn't have to do that, mate. Someone should just got enough to.
I know, I was going to say.
It took me finger dexterity instead. I was just saying it saved me well in later life when I traded in the PlayStation pad for, you know, the touch of the opposite sex. But now, flying, does that work? But no. No, Dad, you're right. I feel like, I don't know if it was two, but there's TNT by AC/DC was one that was, I think that was like Tony Hawk's 4, maybe. Yeah. Absolutely bang. I've got all those games in ours. I see, I've just broke the Wii out so I can play with the kids again, but I also saw my PS2 and was like, I'd have to be a single man to be able to go back to play all the Tony Hawk's, unfortunately. Brilliant songs, Ross. Errol, what are you bringing?
Okay, so I'm gonna mix it up a little bit here. So I'm going with Bop with the Baby. Now I know Tom played it a little bit before because you guys hadn't heard of it. Now you just have to bear with me and just trust me when I say it's a banger. It is actually a banger, and like I can't even understand half the words the guy's saying in the song, but I just like the beat and it just makes you just vibe out a little bit. It's been good from when I've been doing little home workouts. Three Little Birds by Bob Marley, just because you've hit me with it before, and I just thought, you know what, that gets everybody in a good mood. You know what I mean? Just some classic Bob Marley on there. And then 99 Problems with Jay-Z was going to go on there, but I'm going to axe it very, very last minute.
Oh, wow.
Just because, obviously, Red Men TV, we need to obviously try and keep it as scouse as we can sometimes. And I think these guys, if we're going to add it to a Spotify playlist, definitely deserve to be entered onto it. They're called Beyond Average. And they're actually from Liverpool, two lads, a Scouse duo that do rap music. And when I say the music production and quality on their music is up there with anything that's coming out of the UK at the moment. Their latest track that's got a YouTube video and everything on as well is called Millionaire Mindframe. And I think that'll be the one that I entered in as the track, because even when you guys give it a listen to it, it's dead mellow, it's chilled out, it's easy laid back tune, and it's a good vibe. And they're made in Liverpool as well, so it makes my list.
Fantastic. Great stuff. Matt's gone with Day One by Hans Zimmer.
Huge soundtrack, by the way.
Oh, right. Sound. Okay, fantastic. Cool. Wrecking Bar by The Vaccines. And Bring Me Sunshine by Morecambe and Wise. Keeping up his theme of going with his TV and film theme to wrap things up. Fair play, Matt. It's been quite interesting to listen to these playlists because, as I say, they're a wonderful insight into people's mentalities. I've been taken on some dark journeys by this playlist over the last couple of weeks. Largely upbeat, but yeah. I've gone for Uptight by Stevie Wonder. And it's funny because there's a few songs that were in here that I had actually considered as well. We were saying before, I was going to go with the Collision Course, Jay-Z, Linkin Park version of Izzo, which is amazing. But I put Twister on last week, and it's not like a massive Twister. I literally know 2 Twister songs, and I put them on back to back.
Hopeful and Sunshine.
Slow jams, mate. We banged out Slow Jams last week, and in doing so, it then auto played onto the next song, which is Sunshine, which is just for now. I mean, I'm probably the best rap music really at this time. is really well sampled stuff. When you get a good solid like 60s, 70s or whatever vibe, and then sticks a rap over the top. Oh, so yeah, Sunshine by Twister. And then because of going full circle, because of the Stevie Wonder stuff, I listened to Stevie Wonder's greatest hits and I could literally put that entire album on. But Step Out by Oasis, which was originally on Morning Glory, but they had to take it off because it's basically a complete rip-off of Uptight. And so it's all, there's like a mad story. Because I was a mad Oasis collector in my youth. There's a limited run of What's the Story, Morning Glory that's got Step Out on it, but because of the lawsuit, they had to take it off and change the press and redo it. But it's probably Oasis's best song. Dead upbeat. It's like dead. Yeah, it's a proper summer driving tune. So yeah, get on that. It's all very good stuff. So yeah, that is the Redmen Sanity playlist. We'll put a link to it in the description. We'll put a link to it in the video info and in the podcast info as well. And we'll tweet it out at the Redmen TV on there. So get involved and there. Yeah, let us know how you're getting on with it. Tom.
Ready to lose.
It's that time of the podcast where we delve into the knocking the microphone over on the desk. We delve into this.
What are we using to pick who goes first? Last week it was a cigar box.
Yeah. Edel, have you got a coin on you?
No.
Nobody's got a coin on them anymore. We're getting worse each week. Currency is dead. Has anyone got anything flippable? He's gone. I mean, that's a wonderful crotch shot. I don't know, thanks for that.
I've genuinely got nothing.
Sorry, guys.
Right, it's okay. What have I got? Oh, I've got a chocolate coin.
That'll do.
Has it got two different sides?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Right,
and what's the other side? What is it?
A crown or something?
Restless.
I'll pick the one.
To Marks and Spencer's £1 chocolate.
Oh, Max,
you might as well have just written "I am a Tory" on a T-shirt and sat there for the whole didn't time.
You? Well, I didn't obviously didn't buy it. Did you have like one?
Yeah, I'll have the one.
Tom's going for the one. Give it a flip.
Oh no!
First pick for me.
Yeah,
I am going to pick first pick Alison Becker.
Fabinho.
Okay. I will go Mohamed Salah.
I'm not making the same mistake as Ross Adrian.
Yeah, honestly, I do highly recommend checking out the live stream from that. I had very, very good fun with this week. Okie dokie. I will go then with Bobby Firmino.
Mane.
Okay. Divock Origi.
Virgil van Dijk.
Right, okay. Jordan Henderson.
I'm gonna go for...
Come on, Tom, we've got a lockdown soon.
Yeah, I know. It's tough because you've got to, now that I know we're doing it for Pez, Genie.
Right. He's gone Genie Wijnaldum. Interesting shout. Okay. I will go with Naby Keita.
Robbo.
Oh, shit. Keita, Robbo. Sweet. I will have Trent.
Trying to think who I can have in the midfield. I'll have Shaqiri. Obviously not for the midfield.
Okay. So you're going with Shaqiri in there somewhere. Okay.
Shaqiri's right wing.
Okay, sound Hendo. Okay, I will go then with Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Oh, my God.
He's bending you over the barrel here, Tom.
Minamino.
Okay. I'll have Milner.
Yeah. Gomez.
Tom's gone Gomez.
Right back.
Oh, Gomez right back. Okay. Yeah. I'll have Joel Matip.
Lovren.
Okay. Ooh. Okay, that is well played. Who the hell else have we got who can do that job for me?
Who do you need centre? What do you need?
Centre back.
Oh. I'll take that.
Who's in your midfield, Tom?
Fabinho, Gini, Minamino at the moment, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Well, shit, it's all been going swimmingly for me up until this point. And I'm going to level with you. My plan was to pick Gomez as right back for this reason. And I completely forgot and bottled it and said Trent. It's written out in front of me. I've got no one to blame but myself as well. Okay, then.
Put Endo as centre mid and put Trent there and then put Client right back. I don't know why I'm helping you.
Ross, what are you doing, man?
Ooh.
Like, I mean, you're...
Okay. That's a hell of a... Ooh.
Fuck off.
Only because after the fact, I could have put fucking Trent at right wing, which is what I should have done last week, because I fucking had everything else boxed off. Instead of picking Kevin Jones.
Is Client? Yeah. Go on, I'll take Nathaniel Clyne then, thanks.
God's sake, Ross. Where does Minamino play in Pez? Is he a midfielder?
Yeah, honestly, I'm not 100% sure.
Okay,
maybe an attacking mid?
You haven't picked Lallana, have you?
No.
Okay,
I'll have Lallana, okay. And I'm going to have to put Minamino on the left and put Mane in the middle.
Okay, so go on. Okay, so are we done then? Is that right?
Yeah.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay, so I've got in goal Alisson Becker, a back four of left back Milner, right back Klein, centre halves Matip and Hendo.
Matip and Hendo?
Yeah.
Wow.
A midfield three, therefore, of Trent, Alexander-Arnold, Keita, and Oxlade-Chamberlain.
This isn't as strong as I thought it was going to be.
Then a front three of Salah on the right, Bobby middle, Origi left.
Okay, the attack's pretty good. So I've got Adrian in goal, Robbo, Lovren, Van Dijk, Gomez. I guess Robbo, Van Dijk, Lovren, Gomez. So Van Dijk's on the left-hand side. Now I've got Fabinho, then Gini, left mid, Lallana, right mid. Then I've got Minamino, left wing, Shaq, right wing, and Mane, centre forward.
Actually, Tom, you've given it to him back there as well, you know. You didn't take it.
I should have got Mr. Chamberlain instead of Lallana, I feel.
Yeah. It's thing like, there's no obvious things in my team. At least I knew the Adrian thing would be a pivotal thing because of the goalkeeping stuff last week. So it almost was a tactical decision to lose out and end up having a goalkeeper right back. But at the moment, like me defence.
I don't know if Trent's going to do a job at centre mid either. Felt translate
that. Yeah, no, I'm a little concerned about that. I think these teams are pretty well split.
I was going to say it's the midfield battle. It sounds like, because your attack sounds like it's going to be nullified by his defense. So it's probably what's going to go on in the midfield. And I don't know who's got the more complete midfield.
I am 100% going to lose the public vote on this. So listen, just bear in mind, public, because I'm going to let you vote on this. And we'll put a tweet out again so you can vote on it as well. And we will live stream it again so you can see how it goes down. But like, I will lose the public vote because I've got Trent playing in midfield and I've got Henderson playing at centre-back, because people don't look beyond... Don't look beyond the superficial, I'll just say. And I've got more depth to my management than this.
Everyone is basically calling you stupid, so they...
But in doing so, is holding themselves up as stupid, Tom, as you very well know, having been voted down 2 weeks ago and still won.
If are we going to judge this now? The vote matters. It doesn't matter about the penalty.
No, the vote. Look, the vote matters so much as I'm interested to know what people think.
Well, depends if I win the vote or not. If it counts, no. Basically.
If people want to vote, they can vote in, because I want to know what people think is going to happen. That's what's happening. And then the game is the ultimate decider. This is the final of this particular tournament. You won against Chris. I won against Ross, the two best at this game so far, going head to head. The irresistible force meets the immovable object. If you think it's going to come out on top, let us know in the comments or tweet us at the Redmen TV. Make sure you're tagging at Black T Tom and at the Paul Machen as well. And Ross is going to put a little thread together for all this. And I'll let you know when I'm live streaming it so we can know definitively who is the absolute king of the schoolyard game. I think we all know it's me, really, but we'll see.
Yeah, just let me know how many goals I'm going to be poor by.
Right, let's get to a couple of your questions before we move on for this week. Okay, let's see. Stuart Wyatt asks, and I'll start with Errol on this one, who is your favourite Disney princess?
Well, I'm going to hit you with some of you probably already know this, so it's probably not facts for you because you do have got kids. But there's only one Disney princess that was actually based on a real person, and that's Pocahontas. So by proxy of that being true, Pocahontas is the original, and she's the baddest Disney princess that there was.
Amazing. Okay, fantastic. Okay, there you go. Tom?
No, it's Merida and Brave. She's the best. Absolute best. Like, she can just shoot arrows and all that, and I watched it the other day because I was like, why not? And yeah, I think like it's not really like a typical story. It's about a martin into a bear. You know what I mean? Yeah. I kind of like that about it.
Okay, sad. That is that what particularly draws you to the story?
It's better than all the other stories. You know what I mean? All the other.
How's she a princess then, bro?
She's
the mum and dad are like the king and queen or something, aren't they?
Yeah. And then she gets to
I mean, just
the bar does.
Just to be clear on this, Errol, that's generally how people are princesses. that's kind of how it works.
It's actually a really good film, to be honest.
That's one of the few I haven't seen. Really.
Right. Ross, who has a daughter, so this should be slightly less weird coming from him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a few to choose from, but I'm just going to completely ignore all her thoughts and go on a technicality of Princess Leia.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Is a Disney princess, therefore is the best.
She necked her brother.
She's acquired Disney princess, though. She's not an OG.
Yeah, she's not an OG.
Disney. And she's still the best.
All right, well, is Rey a Disney princess? No, she's not royalty, is she? No. Don't even know what I said out loud. The answer is Jasmine.
Which
one's
that?
Swear Aladdin. She's pretty bad.
Fair enough.
No, I'll go with that. I'll go with Jasmine. Let us know who the best Disney princess is in the comments underneath. One last question. We're going to take more of your questions and do some of the answers and some of the more random stuff over on the subscriber Q&A, which is on the redmentv.com as well. We're going to carry this on. It's an extended version of the podcast. If you want more of this random stuff, it gets more weird and more random and generally more funny. So go over to the website for that. The last question we're going to have on here, though, is from Matthew Bell. Out of all the Redmen staff, who would win a WWE style Royal Rumble?
This is hard, this, because I definitely wouldn't win because I don't know what happens in it, to be honest with you. You know what I mean?
Last man standing, bro.
See, that's what I mean. Tom.
Basically, you get a script before the game and you enter in a certain position and they tell you when you're going out of it.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. But bearing in mind that wrestling is obviously real, every 2 minutes, two people start in the ring, and every 2 minutes, another competitor enters. I don't think it's as important to this because there's not enough of us. But we could go with all the extended cast and crew if we really wanted to. And the only way to be knocked out is to go over the top rope and have both feet touch the floor.
Okay,
it's like Friday Night Dogging, Tom, but wrestling.
Okay, so there's cars involved.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm only wrestling. I reckon it's either going to be. It's probably Paul. Is up there because he's taller, so he can lift people out. Is like a thought on it. I think Chris, just because when he gets it in his head that he's going to win something, he usually wins stuff, or at least he gives it a good go. If you've ever played footy with Chris and accidentally stood on his foot, you're going to get it back. I reckon I'd give it a good go in that instance, but I don't think I'd win.
I reckon it's Matt. I'm sorry to say it, but Matt's background in judo and stuff, I reckon that gives him a slight advantage.
I agree with you there.
When it comes to the wrestling, he's not small either.
He's got bad knees, though, Edel. I'd just boot him right in the knee.
Yeah, like, but you wear one of those knee ankle knee protectors, innit? Just wrap it up and fight.
If I booted him in the knee, he'd know about it. That's all I'm going to say.
You can do all that. I'm not going to win, but I'm definitely taking someone down.
Yeah.
Okay. Used to use that working in pubs when you'd have like gangs of people titting around outside. It's like, listen, there's a lot of yous. I'm not going to be able to kill all of yous, but I'm definitely going to kill you.
Yeah.
They're you. I'm going for you and you alone. I'm going to make sure that if I'm going to hospital, you're going to hospital alongside me, and your messy mates can sort themselves out, basically.
What would wrestling name be then, P? For what would it be?
I genuinely don't know. But I tell you what, let's leave that to the audience to create
like
wrestling.
Like he's never thought about it before.
I know.
I know what it is. It's Paul the Hair Machen. There you go. There it is.
I don't know. These days, it's all about having your actual name, but I don't really do that anyway. It'd be an opportunity to go full Ringo Starr, I think, and create some sort of nice stage name for myself. I don't know.
I think Ross would be the Elton John.
Ross, who do you think would win in a Redman TK World Rumble?
Fucking pick on Ross podcast and haze it.
I just think you'd look great in star glasses. That's all I'm saying.
I don't care now. probably Paul, because he watches it and he studies it and he knows what the fucking score is.
And I read
that's what
script.
I thought.
He'd write the script so he'd fucking win it. That's what I'm going
to happen. Exactly. If I was writing the script, then I would write it such that probably given how this channel's gone over a decade, that something really... Chris would have to do something cripplingly embarrassing, but he would do it brilliantly. But in reality, if it was in the wrestling parlance, a shoot fight, as in real, Pajak wins all day long because he's got a low center of gravity. He's brutal when he wants to be. He's very aggressive.
Yeah.
He's got that competitive spirit and he's put on a little bit of timber in lockdown. So he's probably harder to get over the top rope.
Wow.
Shane?
I don't know if he's going to take that. I mean, I know he's been doing cooking videos every.
I know he's been making loads of heavy foods on his channel. You know what I mean? And the amount of times he's told me about these fucking cake plates and cake forks that he's got. He sent me a video of it the other day. I think I'll put it in the Machen Pajak podcast this week. It's funny, but there seems to be a lot of cake being eaten in this house. That's just me reading between the lines. Is all I'm saying. But I can't see Pajak getting beat. I think Ross would be too polite to beat him. I think Tom would give it a good go. And then it's who's got the most to lose between you two. I think it's you should all gang up on me. That's the thing. You should all turn on me first.
Not nice, is it?
I don't know if cake's good muscle food though, Paul. That's the thing.
You know protein what I mean? Cake. Yeah.
I think Edel would give it a good go. I feel like
it'll be good. Yeah.
I feel like you'd batter me.
I think Lauren would do well.
Yeah, the girls would team up.
I don't think it. I think Amy being a similar thing. It's like you have it with like the female Royal Rumble where the big person comes in and you'd have three people, four people all trying to throw them over the top rope. I think Amy would have a similar sort of situation that I would face, and then beyond that, I wonder whether I could throw Ben out one handed if I got some momentum behind it.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Ben, but you know there is a significant size difference between the two of us. I know, maybe Lauren would be a dark horse shelf for that because I think she's got the competitive spirit as well.
100%.
I like the Hardy Boys, the way they used to flip off the ropes and all that kind of stuff. I'd be into it all for all the acrobatic stuff.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Sad. Ben brightly but shortly. Yeah, I like that. Right, we've got some more questions to get through on the subscriber Q&A, including three Premier League managers you'd like to be in isolation with and why, Redmen TV the movie, who do you choose to play each member of the Office team, frequent show appearance makers on the big screen.
That's a
belter
question.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Daniel Macaron, which manager would you not want to be in isolation with? What do we miss most except the footy or going out that you took for granted since lockdown? Jesus Christ, I found that hard to say, and it wasn't a complicated sentence in any way, shape, or form. Anyway, all that kind of shit and a whole lot more. Who would win in a fight between Batman and Bobby Firmino? You'll have to tune in on the RedmenTV.com to the subscriber Q&A. There's a few of them there that are always good fun. Don't forget, of course, that the Jimmy Traore interview is there in full. Jose Enrique's interview there, is it? Jesus wept. I'm going to have to go out of a way for myself before then, lads. Oh my God. Amazing content. It's just £5 a month. Get involved and help support us and keep yourself entertained in lockdown. Other than that, we'll be back with more podcasty goodness next week. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts?
Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.